Okay, this is a funny one. A Delphi performance of the week. Matt Kater suggested I go ahead and give it to Looms Boldly. Not an Adelphi racehorse, but an Adelphi partner. Me involved. The horse is named after me. How great was that to see him in the winner's circle at Saratoga in a stakes race, no less? How spoiled am I to get to be in the winner's circle with Adelphi earlier in the meet with our horse, Gem Mint 10. I have that giant picture. I'm fighting with my wife over exactly where in the little house on the east side that one's going to hang. But I've just had the best experience with Adelphi Racing Club, as you can tell. Such great access to the team. Have learned so much about handicapping. Decades in the game, and I'm learning something all the time talking to the likes of Joe Migliori and Rich Cristiano, and of course, Matt Kuter and the trainers, Ray Handel. Getting this kind of access, being able to follow them through the sales where they were very successful. We'll have a little recap on the four runners they bought at the New York Bred Sale. Sales are going to be happening soon, opening up for those new Adelphi Racing Club runners. You're going to want to get involved. AdelphiRacing.com. That's the website. Reach out to Matt Kater through there. If you want to reach out to me, I'm happy to make an introduction as well. Make sure to let him know that you're a listener. You can find me through the contact page, or the contact button, I should say, over at InTheMoneyPodcast.com. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players podcast. This is a special show. We've been doing these late week shows in two, no different here. We're going to be talking about Woodbine, one of their big days of the year, the King's Plate on Saturday. A little bit later, JK will be by to talk about the Alabama Day pick six. We kick things off north of the border. Quick programming note, we're going to be talking about a really cool bet going from races 6 to 11, $250,000 guaranteed in the pool for this pick five that includes a quartet of stakes races. But it's also the King's Plate Challenge on Saturday. You can play online at ExpressBet in the U.S. or HPI Bet. If you're playing up in Canada, we have the rules at a special pretty link off the In the Money site, inthemoneypodcast.com/Woodbine. Go there, check it out. Make sure you sign up in time. $1,000 buy-in, fabulous prizes, including Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge seats available. Speaking of the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, our first guest today has been a huge help to me all year long on our BCBC Diary show. If you haven't seen it, it's basically my old DRF column, but with video and more of a BCBC focus than anything else. Jackson has been sharing strategies with us. He has been very close, not quite gotten there yet, but I think it's going to happen for him. Who knows? Maybe as soon as Saturday. We bring him in now, coming to you from California, Jackson Muniz. Jackson, how are things, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Happy to be here. Ready to talk some Woodbine. I love Woodbine, so let's do this.
Yeah, I knew you were. So full disclosure, Drew Coatney, who's done the King's Plate, Queen's Plate shows with me, gosh, since the beginning of In the Money, was supposed to be here, but had a last-minute conflict, but I knew Jackson would be looking, and we bring him in off the bench, and I have a feeling, you know, it could turn into a Wally Pipp situation. Sorry, Drew, but I know the work that Jackson puts into this stuff. I mentioned the Woodbine Day Challenge, the King's Plate Challenge. Any thought of you participating in that one, Jackson?
I wasn't originally, but then I started looking at this card, and there's some good prices on this card, so maybe I'll take a look at it.
All right, we'll discuss off-air. Perhaps as a thank you for your coming in here last minute, we can do a little bit of completely within the rules backing of you for that event. Fair is fair, after all. We start off talking about stakes action in race number six, the first leg of this $250,000 guaranteed pick five, the Soaring Free Stakes for the two-year-old colts, traditionally a very important prep when it comes to the grade one summer in just about 1 month's time, also around that Woodbine Oval. We've got a field of nine going postward here, Jackson, when it comes to this pick five guaranteed pool with the stakes races at Woodbine on Saturday. How you want to light this candle?
We're going to start off with number two test score for Grand Motion. I really like the debut effort over at Saratoga. Wasn't super fast early, but made a move into contention there. Had a seam trying to split horses and kind of got cut off and wasn't phased at all. He just went right around those horses and ran on well to get second. was well clear, the third place finisher. The winner was Governor Sam, who came back to win a stakes race at Monmouth, I believe. So pretty good company kept there. And then Motion is just really good second time out. And I just feel like this horse is going to be really, really ready to go second time. Looks like there's going to be a lot of pace. And he has the best late pace figures by far in this field.
It's funny that you made that mistake, the gender or the sex mistake, because I did the same thing in my notes. And then I got this and the catcher glimpse reversed and went back and had to fix all my pronouns there. So it's funny that you made the same mistake. Yeah, he looks very tough. Who else do you like to potentially come with?
And then the other one I liked was number 4, Cool Collected. I really liked his second race. I watched the replay, and he looked like a winner every step of the way. Just sat in the pocket when it was time to go, went right around the front runners, won easily, was well clear of the field. And I think she could get a really similar trip in the spot, just tucked in right behind the speed, safe ground throughout.
It's interesting. Yeah, I had missed Cool Collected, but I'm seeing your points looking at it. I think I was put off by the fact that the horse was 21-1, but that was it's an interesting pace line in that race, showing that little bit of positional speed early, settling, and then finishing up okay. I hear where you're going with that. Any others to put on the little sheet we'll send around to our In the Money Plus subscribers?
Just the favorite, number 5, Mensa. No real knocks. He's done nothing wrong. Probably the speed of the speed. The only real knock is just the price is going to be the favorite. So I didn't think he had that much of a better chance than the other two I liked. So I'll just probably keep him underneath.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Mensa makes out here. Florida bred, who's already shown the ability to excel in open company, but trying turf for the first time, and there's so much other speed in the spot. Don't hate the idea of that one as a backup. I may steal your idea of Cool Collected as a backup, but the two I were interested in, as far as the top pick goes, we're singing from the same hymn book. Test Score just made the most sense. Still a maiden, but able to pass horses. I like the fact, actually, also that this horse wasn't particularly bet on debut or last race, rather, suggesting not much was expected and that he wasn't fully fit. And you mentioned about the form of the race with Governor Sam winning the Tyro at Monmouth. With that race behind him, Test Score can step up, I think. One other I'll mention is the 6, Cairo Caper. I just like the fact that this one uplined, getting faster as the race went along, going 6 furlongs on this course. That suggests to me the added ground could be within his reach. Settled well off the speed there, could do well once again. Kokomo, who set the pace in the Cairo Caper win, came back to win the maiden last weekend at Woodbine. So mainly 2 for me, a little 6-5, 2-4-5. For Jackson, as we move on to the Grade 3 Bidventure Stakes, going 6.5 on the synthetic. The legend continues here with Patches O'Houlihan making it back to the races. This horse, I thought, maybe just had one run too many last season, disappointing in the Kennedy Road, but look back to his old self in the Pink Lloyd, second off the layoff with a clear pace edge. He's going to take some beating. I'll have a saver I'll mention, but first I'll ask you what I think is the key question of this race, Jackson. Are you with Patches O'Houlihan or against him?
I'm with him. He looks like he'll be really tough, and he looks like one of those horses that may have made a really significant jump from 3-4. I mean, that 103 buyer leaps off the page. It's 10 points higher than anything he ran last year.
Yep.
The only real concern is he just got a really easy lead that day, and I'm not sure if that's going to happen today, but he's going to take some beating. The only other one I thought was interesting was Play Me a Tune for Carroll. Two races so far and 2 dominant wins, so who knows how good he really is. We're going to find out with the class test today, but it should be an interesting race. I think
that was the one I had as a saver as well, the 6, Play Me a Tune. Josie Carroll just notched her 1,000th winner last year. That was fun to be on air for that one. Play Me a Tune, as you point out, only run twice, but been very impressive. And the horses to have come out of that last run and run back make that figure look legit. And the other thing I like about Play Me a Tune, assuming they don't get too aggressive and actually try Patches O'Houlihan early, will probably be in a good stalking spot should something, you know, should Patches not put down a representative effort or bounce or whatever. The 6 should be in a great position, Play Me a Tune, to take advantage. But that's a 1A, 1B situation, it sounds like, for both of us with the 3 and the 6 in the Bidventure Stakes. Graded stakes action continues for the boys in the Grade 2 King Edward. We've got a couple of past winners in here. Really interesting race, I thought. Guess you got to start the conversation with Philo Di Arellana, and I'll once again make you make the declaration. Is this a favorite you can confidently press up, or one you're maybe trying to get around?
I'm going to single him. He just looks really tough in here. I mean, his last three races have been awesome. His three back, he was second to perhaps the best turf sprinter in the world.
Yep.
Then back at Saratoga in the Jaipur, he had an impossible trip. He was four or five wide in that race, and he split the field. It wasn't that bad of an effort. And then last time he came back to Woodbine, it just dominated. And he clearly loves it here. He's 4 for 4. He's never really been tested here. I guess the one concern it could be the distance, but he also was second in the poker last summer and
won this race going fast 2 years ago. So yeah, I mean, recent form, the distance seems like a question, but the more you dig on that, the more answers I think you find in the affirmative to that question.
Yeah, I agree. And he's, you know, outside draw, tactical speed, he can press or he can go to the front. The only other concern I guess I could have is he's a pretty significant standout on the buyers, but if you look at time form, it's not that big of a difference between some of these others, but he just looks like he'll get the best trip and he'll be tough for that short price.
Yes, maybe one that would be good for contest purposes, you know, something where great thing about these contests, of course, getting to participate in the prize pool can make a 4 to 5 shot pay de facto more than 4 to 5. But yeah, I mean, this is the speed and class of the field and just had to get away from Cogburn. While I don't necessarily disagree with you about your Cogburn turf sprinter best in the world category comment, we may be making some Australians very angry when we say that, but that's okay. Certainly in North America, there's no doubt as to who the best one is, and Philip Arianna will be very happy to be away. I do have one backup to suggest, potential exacta partner, and maybe a little bit in horizontals. War Bomber, I thought was better, all things considered, than Cruden Bay last time when making the move that broke the race apart. War Bomber's career highlight came in this race last year. Cannot hang with Philip Arianna's best races, but you know, these are horses, not machines. And if the top one falters, I could absolutely see War Bomber being in the perfect spot to maybe get things done. So I'll mention that one as well. You are stone cold in there to Philo?
Stone cold.
All right, nice. Let's go to race number 9, the allowance race in the midst of this sequence. And I'm hoping you have something more clever than me in here, because I'm decidedly looking at horses towards the top of the market. I have one wacky idea to throw in at you, but we'll let you begin this one, Jackson.
I was going to say the same thing to you. This race looks impossible, man. I'm 5 deep with 0 confidence.
Who's on the spread? I mean, in the pick 5, you can kind of get away with that, you know, if you're right in other places. But who are your 5 runners? How do you grade them into A's and B's? And do you have a top pick?
Yeah, I mean, they're all going to be A's. I guess I'll just start with the favorite, Never Surprised. I don't love him, but the back class is kind of speaks for itself. He was once a length behind Colonel Liam, who was one of the best turf horses here. He's got speed. He's got tactical speed. He'll be up front throughout. I also like Classic Motown, number 1, at 8-1, who he's got a pretty good kick, and he's going to be on the inside the whole time. He'll just save ground throughout. Obviously, these big, giant fields, the pace is usually faster, and he's going to enjoy that. I guess my top pick would be number 10, Cool Kiss, who's a horse I chased a lot last summer. And
that's
he
funny.
Never
that's my,
won.
That's my wacky idea here, too. So we might be able to kiss the 15-1 goodbye, but yeah. Who knows? Continue with your case.
Yeah, I was just a big fan of this horse last year. He's always coming with this big late run, and he just never could quite get there. And I'm willing to forgive. He finally tried the turf last time, and I'm willing to forgive it for the first time in a while. But the pace was really slow that day. Blue-coated fractions that day, and he didn't have a chance. And this race, like I said, this is a big, much bigger field, and it looks like there could be a fast pace. So I won't be surprised if he comes running late. Who else? Number 7, Clear Destination. Another one with a big late kick, and who has been an unfavorable pace scenarios lately. 2 of the last 3 have also been blue coated fractions in those races on time form. I don't love the 3 for 43, but his figures are right there. And then the last horse I like is number 2, Fighter in the Wind. I know he's 0 for 11 on the turf, but I think he could get a really good trip just right behind the speed. And he's 12-1, so why not?
Yeah, I mean, at those kind of prices, I hear you. You make a good point about the potential flaws of Clear Destination, but boy, that was a great run last time with no particular setup. I think you can mark up that race a bit. And if you do, those numbers are as good as any horse in the field. Plus, I think today's race will be run to suit with plenty of pace signed on. We'll get to Never Surprised in a minute, who I think will be the best of that speed, who I listed as a B. But I also had Cool Kiss as an A, just as I continued to look at the race every time through. I was like, ah, this horse is a little interesting. No Chance, as you pointed out, with the race full last time. And that might have been a buried good race, just looking at this one's time form U.S. pace line. I think this horse, even though it doesn't really look like it in the running line, might have finished up okay. This is a four-year-old, so still progressive. And then the key thing is, if it's really a boil over, if all the speed goes, this horse could be the last mover in a race that might just come apart at the seams. As for Never Surprised, I won on some tickets defensively, but it's a tricky spot. There's several other runners in here with better early pace figures than Never Surprised. Does right. look like the best of the speeds on figures and form, but on the pace map, the kind of thing where it might either have to show a new dimension, settling from farther back, or use more gas early, could take the sting out of the finish. I need a speed horse in here. I'm not just going to war 7 and 10, and I'm going to look at your other numbers again. But 7, 10 on the A line, 4 on the B line for me, as we return to some stakes action in the Catch a Glimpse. This is the Phillies version of the Soaring Free. Key prep action for Breeders' Cup win, and you're in action in the Natalma Grade 1 in a month's time. Giant full field in here. I had one that leapt off the page at me, and we'll see. I sense you, like me, are a card-carrying member of the Graham Motion fan club. The number 12, Warming, was the one that really stood out for me in this spot. Bet well enough on that debut. Closed well without a particularly great setup. And the form of that race has been very strong. A couple of next out winners, lots of figure improvement from the field. And I thought she would get a really good trip in here. Number 7, Bullet, very obvious, not a favorite. I'm willing to fully stand in the way of off those two impressive wins. But I made that one a B and was going to go to war with Warming as my lone A, the 12 for me in this Catch a Glimpse stakes. Are you with me or against me here with Warming?
I'm with you. I wrote the exact same thing. Defeated 2 next out winners, 2 next out runner ups, and all but one improved their speed figures next time. And she smoked them. I mean, it wasn't really close.
Right.
And she had a huge gallop out. She'll be really tough in here. I kind of felt the same about the 7. I'm going to use her, but I don't necessarily love her at the price she's probably going to be.
Right.
And then the 2 price horses, I kind of really like the number 4, Shifty for Mark Cassie. Broke terrible and was way back there. And it just looked like a prep to me. She was way back there. Made this big move on the turn. And then top of the stretch, she kind of looked like she was going to come with a run. And kind of just evened out. And she wasn't really persevered with. Sophia Vives kept her way out in the middle of the track. And as soon as they crossed the wire, she galloped out way in front of the field.
Interesting. So
I thought it was a little interesting that I didn't think they were necessarily trying to win that race. Mm-hmm. And they paid a lot of money for her, and now she shows up in the stakes race, and she's got a really big late pace figure in a race that, you know, these 2-year-olds, big fields, they can go really fast. So
yep, I love your case. Yeah, and that's the Cairo Caper race, so you'll get a little bit of collateral form from the boy. You know, that was against the boys, and so watch what Cairo Caper does, maybe for more of an indication. But it's a good point. It's kind of a sneaky running line in a way, and this horse has to be a price, right?
I would think. I hope so. 15-1 would be great. I'd be very happy with that. And then, let's see. The other one I liked was number 6, Crystal Visions at 12-1. The running line makes it seem like she was off the pace throughout, but she actually broke on top and was dueling the first, you know, furlong maybe. And then the rider just took back, and she obliged pretty nicely and, you know, sat on the inside. And when the time came, he asked her for her run, and she came running. And she won that race by just under 2 lengths. The 2 front runners in front of her finished way up the track. The horse that was right next to her track in the pace finished, you know, mid-pack. And all the horses finishing 2nd, 3rd, and 4th were came from way out of it. So I was pretty impressed by that one. I thought she looks like another horse that can just sit right off the pace if they don't go too fast and maybe have enough run left to hold off the closers late.
Very clever. Very interesting. First-time turf on Crystal Visions, but I don't see reasons on pedigree why she couldn't adapt to it off that synthetic performance. And I do love it when they make kind of 2 moves in a race like that. It just suggests immense talent, especially when one does it on debut. I'm going to be definitely stealing your ideas of the 4 and the 6 for some of my backup plays along with the 12 and the 7 there in that race. Let's move on to the big one, the race that gives the day its name, the Canadian Derby, the King's Plate Stakes, going a mile and a quarter. This was interesting. For a long time, it looked like the marketing of the race was going to be my boy Prince and everybody else. Now, My Boy Prince did win the prep, you know, by a length and a quarter anyway, the plate trial. But subsequently, we've had this Essex Serpent come out and run a really big speed figure where, in morning line terms anyway, it's not one and everybody else, it's two horses and everybody else. Are you with one of those two favorites, or are you going to try to pull something out of your hat here to close things out in the King's Plate?
I'm going to be against My Boy Prince in here. Like you said, since he debuted last May, this was like the big horse at Woodbine for a good reason. He was winning everything, and he got third in the Breeders' Cup. But I don't love that his two best races by far were both around one turn, and he hasn't really continued to put up strong figures going two turns. I know he had the bad break last time, but he was 1-9. I would like to see him put up a stronger figure than that. I am going to use a 3 Essex Serpent. I think it's a little interesting that they skipped the last prep, and Cassie trains both of them, so he kept those horses separated. And I know this is a big field, but there's not that much speed in here, and I think the 3 is going to be ahead of the 7. It's hard to say, but I would guess a 3 is going to be ahead of them. My top pick is actually going to be the 4 Caitlin Her Greatness at 12-1. She's making her third start of the form cycle. I really loved her last year at Saratoga. She ran a really good third and a strong maiden race. Came back and won at Aqueduct. And then this year she's looked pretty good in both her starts. She won off the bench going 7.5 on the turf. Another one of those races where she just tucked in the pocket, made a move around the horses and won the race pretty easily. Came back in the Webb and Oaks last time. Never had any cover at any point. She was 3-4 wide throughout in a fast pace. Just barely couldn't hang on. But she actually galloped out in front of that field. So I don't think the mile and a quarter is going to be a problem for her. And if you look at the time form figures, she's actually right there with My Boy Prince. She's off by maybe 3 or 4 points, and she's 12-1. So I have no problem with her. She's going to be my top pick. And then a crazy bomber for you will be Friendly Ghost at 30-1. another one that's making the third start of his form cycle. I didn't think there was anything wrong with his last race. He lost to My Boy Prince by only 2 lengths, but he was going from a 6-furlong maiden win to a 9-furlong stakes race. And that's a pretty tall ask, and he was not disgraced at all. He put away his pace rival and just got outrun a little bit late. Another one that galloped out in front of the field after that race. This is going to be their start of his form cycle. And he's 30-1. He's not that far behind on figures, and I'm not going to be surprised if he shows up with a big one.
I mean, that's very interesting. You'll see that a lot of times. The second time they do something, they do it better. So, I mean, that's a wild idea, but I will at least have a penny on Friendly Ghost on your say-so. Funny enough, either you've been listening to too many of my podcasts, or I'm sleepwalking and hacking your email, because I'm absolutely with you on Caitlin Her Greatness as the top pick. Interesting alternative to the favorites, especially when you consider the rich history that fillies have in winning this race, getting that weight break. That was a tough post in the Oaks, as you pointed out, wide throughout. And that was a day where I thought the inside was just better throughout the day. This one attacked a fast pace and just got run down by a perfect trip winner who spent time on that rail, looked to still have energy laid on. This is a very interesting alternative. If the 12-1 materializes, I will definitely be there backing this one to win and playing around in exotics with some of the other ones you mentioned. I was less creative with the backups, just thinking I would be playing a 3 and 7 to attempt to get through if one of them gets the job done. But hopefully this 4 can run well for us. And I'm going to take a very long extra look at some of these prices that you mentioned, especially in the Catch a Glimpse. I thought your ideas there were particularly good. Really appreciate you pinch hitting like this, Jackson, pinch hitting and knocking it out of the park. Yeah. Some great ideas, some favorites to build around. We look forward to seeing you on BCBC Diary soon, and hopefully on the leaderboard later today on Horse Players Happy Hour. I assume you'll be getting involved.
Oh yeah. And it's been a few weeks since I've been up there, so today's the day. I'm due.
All right, let's do it. Jackson, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pete.
Okay, we've got another segment coming up right after this. So happy to be working with Naira with our expanded coverage this year. Special shows for Fridays and Sundays, as well as our regular Saturday coverage, which you're about to hear in the very next segment. Want to remind folks that on Saturday, you've got an opportunity to play in the $300 Naira Bets contest. Go to the website, make sure you opt into that. Cash prizes available in that one. And if you want to win your way into a future Naira contest, go check out Contest Jockey on Sunday, where we've got an absolutely free qualifier to a future Naira Bets $300 contest. Check that out over at contestjockey.com. Last but not least, you can watch every race of Saratoga in the America's Day at the Races Fox coverage. Go to the Naira website, find a schedule so you make sure you never miss JK, Acacia, Maggie, Richie, and the rest of the team and the fantastic work that they do. Next up on the show, we bring in a man who comes to us from across town here in Saratoga Springs. Going to talk about these last six races on the Saturday Saratoga card. He's Jonathan Kinchin. What's up, JK?
PTF, what's going on? Yep, we're back at it again. It's funny. I was sitting at dinner last night thinking that we're more than halfway through. It feels like it just started. This meet goes by so fast, but it takes an eternity, an absolute eternity for the 54 weeks prior, or excuse me, the 44 weeks prior. It's insane.
It is weird how time plays with you up here. Even with the long meet, I agree, it tends to fly. Still some super exciting stuff, though. These two weekends are great. Very happy to report that the forecast is looking a lot better early week. It looked like we might get rain on Saturday. Now we may get rain, but it doesn't look like it'll be anything to affect us. Fingers crossed. I may do that reverse jinx thing where, like, you bring an umbrella so it won't rain. Maybe I'll give a quick off the turf thought. There was a couple that jumped out to me on the Saturday card. I'll do that just with the idea that that'll make sure that it doesn't rain. You know how that goes.
Oh yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad, especially what we've kind of dodged and avoided. We've dodged and avoided some uglier weather, it feels like, in the last few weeks. So I'll just keep hoping for that,
with the notable exception of last weekend. But yes, generally speaking, and even worked out. Like I'm still content with the fact that we were able to get those grade ones in, you know, and at least the rain on Sunday didn't affect that much. So it should be good. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be up in Toronto, but obviously playing this with great interest, maybe involved in the King's Plate contest and be a little distracted, but you know, I'll be putting something in for Saratoga as well. Some good racing here. I wish I had some more long shot opinions, but I think I might be able to find a way to cleverly bet things and get it going. We kick off with this allowance race number 7, going 1 3/16 on the turf. When it comes to this pick six on Saturday, JK, how do you want to light this candle?
Yeah, I'm going to spread here. You know, there's a lot of evenly matched types. There's some other stronger opinions throughout the sequence that'll afford me the opportunity to do that. 3, 4, 5, 9, 11, no grades in any particular order. Catch a Wave, the 5, you know, caught my attention, who I thought ran extremely well last time with a horrible trip, was wide all the way around there. So you want to take that into consideration. The 4 Freedom Trail looks like the most likely, deserved 7-2 choice in here, but felt like one that I couldn't necessarily lean on.
And so
this is a spreading situation for me. Like I said, 3, 4, 5, 9, 11 will be who I need to advance.
That's interesting, because I actually was going to use one that you didn't have as a more of a B type. But on the A line, I had 2 of yours, starting with Freedom Trail. The thing is, the layoff is a question mark, but also looks to be working up a storm. And then also, I had that last race just being, I know it was a long time ago, but being better than it looked, making the move into the fast pace. The horse just looked ready to me. Definitely going to be on a bunch of tickets, but I definitely don't want to stand alone. You mentioned Catch a Wave, and I agree, that last race better than it looked. Horse was wide throughout and attending a fast pace. Should do well in this spot. The one that you didn't mention that I'll give a shout to that I had as a B was the 8 Mondigo, just because if the horse looked the clear speed once again, needs to distribute the energy more evenly, but maybe as this horse gets running and, you know, Rosario gets a handle on it, you know, when he can ration out front end speed as well as anybody. Why did you leave out Mondigo? Did you just think pop and stop once again?
Yeah, I'm just kind of tired of his situation, right? I mean, back in last summer, he looked like he was going to be a pretty promising runner with May and June having back to back wins, and he's just been kind of nondescript since then. I just don't necessarily trust him. I don't hate the horse. I just don't trust him.
And then I also had Reckoning Force, the 9 in the mix, just obvious fits on figures. I didn't love the trip necessarily this horse was going to get, so I relegated to more of a B type, but didn't want to lose to that one. Let's move on to the second leg in the sequence, allowance action once again. But we move to the dirt, and we go a mile and an eighth in this one, field of 10 signed on. This was a race I wish I could be more creative, but I feel like the top of the market, you can probably come pretty close to locking it up. We'll start with the 10 timeout. I thought this horse could be easily forgiven for the last race in the Curlin against better. Didn't break well, had to use a lot of gas early to get in position, and still ran a good final time. And this horse has been working with some good ones, including Arthur's Ride. So I think the 10 timeout makes an awful lot of sense in this spot. The 6 Rocketeer maybe could offer some value if that morning line holds. This is an improving horse. I love how adding the ground last time agreed with this horse, and I think should get a good trip on or near the lead. Blinkers often a very positive move for Cox. Rocketeer, not just a hunch play for Jennifer Connelly fans. And then the 9 Donegal Surges, just another fairly obvious one, I thought, fits on figures and form, and just looked like a horse to me, looking at the way this one's run and finished up in the races, that the added ground that he got last time could really be this one's friend. I got a 10-6-9 trying to lock it up in race number 8. Is it as simple as that, JK?
I mean, 7-9-10 for me is A's. I'm going to use these Flying P horses. You know, they've been, the Flying P stable's been winning at an outstanding rate. I know with Maker so far for the meet, I think they're 5-13 for the meet with Maker. But Norm, this is a positive looking runner for Norm Cassie that they've got too. So I wanted to make sure I had. I'm going to use the 4 as a B on the trainer change as a horse. The horse looks to be improving. And then Rocketeer putting the blinkers on, I thought was one that, you know, I know they've always thought highly of the horse, but maybe that's, they're just trying to work out some things to get him to show his best. So 7-9-10 is A's, and then I'll use the 4-6 as B's.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure how Game Warden was going to class up with these. I thought that was a pretty good trip last time, now up the ladder. But I take your point about Flying P. And it was a fast race on the clock. It's an interesting one. You know, if all I was looking at was figures, I definitely have as an A. But the more I looked and was thinking about the situation for the horse, I wasn't as sure. But your say-so will give me another look at Game Warden in this spot. You're pretty confident he'll be able to be seen as well going up in class against these?
Yeah, I don't see an issue. I mean, it's not a world beater group. It, you know, it's running fast numbers comparable to them.
Yep, fair enough. Stakes action begins in race number 9 with the Grade 2 Lake Placid for the 3-year-old fillies. Big full field in this spot. I'll go first just because I thought this was a place to maybe get skinny. I really like She Feels Pretty, and this is one of those angles where it's, you know, watching your show, JK, and the information you can glean. I thought Cherie DeVoe before the last race just sounded incredibly non-confident about her ability to go this far. It was one of those, like, it was a read between the lines. It's not like she went on there and said, I don't think the horse will stay, but you could just kind of tell, like, oh, well, she'll either see it out or there's plenty of races at a mile and 16th. And then, despite that lack of confidence, and I mean, you know, she got beat at odds on. It wasn't some brilliant effort, but she ran pretty well. I mean, looking at the final figures, compares pretty well to her previous work. I think she ran through that, you know. I think there might have been some hidden improvement there. And she's actually going to do way better going back to this mile and a 16th distance. And if she does, I think she can win this and be a good price because there's some other horses that have to take money. Also, I think she's just going to get an absolutely great trip just off the lead in this spot. This was a horse I thought that there was some chance they might go run in the coronation at Ascot after that Hilltop comeback win. I know it wasn't against that much, but it was just so stylish and fast. I will probably find some ways to back up with the strangers, the 6 and the 11, and mess around in verticals with them, but I'm going to have a whole lot of my play going through She Feels Pretty. Are you with her or against her?
Yeah, I mean, I'm ice cold A with the 7 She Feels Pretty. I completely agree. I think she went too far. She wants to cut back. And then I'll use the 11 Beautiful Love as a B horse. If you look on XBTV, you'll see this horse is working with Cinderella's Dream, Eternal Hope, Naval Power. So there's obviously some talent there, some ability there. Interesting to see Manny Franco for Charlie Appleby, which I'm happy for Manny. That's awesome. I think that's a direct correlation to Charlie Appleby saying, "Oh, if Manny Franco can ride the turf for Chad, he can ride the turf for me." Yep. And that's an awesome opportunity for Manny and for John Panigot, Manny's agent. So ice cold to the 7, and I'll use the 11 as a backup.
Yeah, I get it. And this horse beat Cinderella's Dream, I think, over in Dubai as well. We saw how impressive she was last week, was one of the ones on our short list for last week's Adelphi performance of the week. I get it. I was just thinking the post, and maybe she just helps make the market for the 7. Maybe she feels pretty. You can actually get 3-2, 8-5, 2-1. So we're singing from the same hymn book in race number 9. Race number 10, we did a video, production meeting in the middle of the show. You know, we have all this great SEO on our YouTube channel. Why, when you type Alabama Stakes into YouTube, are we not among the first 5 videos that come up, JK? What's going on? It's making me crazy this morning.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Interesting question. I don't know.
The algorithm likes us. We still have a lot of views, but I just thought that was weird when I was like, oh, I'll find it this way, expecting us to be number one up there. And then, you know, there's all the other people. Anyway, just had to get at least one production meeting in the middle of the show in here with you today. If you want to see our a longer discussion of the Alabama, you can go there. But how about, we did that video 4 days ago. Have your thoughts evolved much? And how would you look to grade this into A's and B's in terms of this Alabama Day Pick 6?
I've talked about Candide. I thought Candide had a chance to beat Torpedo Anna. She didn't do so, obviously. But I think she ran better than it looked. I think she was probably – turned away chasing a superior horse. And so I think the real Candide will show up here, but I also want to have Miss Justify. Basically what I'm telling you is that I like Todd Pletcher in here to get his fifth Alabama, winning with Princess of Silmar, Stop Charging Maria, Malathot and Nest. I feel like one of these two should be able to get the job done. I'll use both of them as A's, and then I'll use the 3 Power Squeeze and the 4 Just Basking, as B types. For me, Power Squeeze, interesting. I think Maggie Wolfendale said this on the show yesterday, so I want to give her credit for it. Undefeated around 2 turns when she's not facing Torpedo Anna. That's an interesting note.
Clause.
Yeah, that's an interesting note. So
that is interesting.
Yeah.
On pedigree, definitely the mile and a quarter. I mean, that's sort of the key question of this race in many ways, is who's going to be suited by that mile and a quarter. You'd think Honor Blood, Power Squeeze would be one we know is suited by the mile and a quarter, by both pedigree and the fact that she's actually won going the distance. Is your other B runner, who's my big press A in here, is the 4 Just Basking. David Aragona, he's probably right. He made this horse 5-1 in the morning line. I was licking my chops, JK, the first bookie that came out with prices for this race had Just Basking at 12-1. And I was just stupid and didn't grab it, didn't have somebody over there take a look right away, for them, not for me. But I didn't get it advised to my inner circle. But my article for attheraces.com went up, and that price quickly went away from all the readers over there from attheraces.com. But Just Basking, to me, I love the profile of this horse. I love Ian Wilkes coming along slowly. I just think the mile and a quarter is the key. Hopefully some of these others will take so much money that we can get maybe a little bit more than that 5-1. I'd like a little bit more than that 5-1, but even at 5-1, Just Basking, the top pick for me. And then Candy, just super obvious. I mean, has the best form in the race with that second to Torpedo Anna. And I agree that if she was only running for second, probably would have gotten closer than 4.5 lengths. And that form's probably good enough to beat these. The mile and a quarter, a little bit of a question mark, but I'm still with Candide in this spot as a backup to Just Basking. 4 and 7 for me. A couple more races to talk about, starting with race number 11. Starter Allowance going a mile. JK, we'll throw it right back to you.
Yeah, this one for me, I needed a few in here. I'm going to use the 3 and the 4. The 3, Yo Daddy, and the 4, Who's the King. Safi also off to an unbelievable meet. 9 for 22, 41%.
Six of his last nine. I looked at this morning. I had it in my notes. He's won six of his last nine races at Saratoga.
Yeah, so you know, I felt like one of these two had to run well. The horse I'm not going to fall for is Unlimited Potential. I think some people might.
I like Unlimited Potential here.
Yeah, he ran extremely fast last time, but let's not forget he got Brave and a non-winners of two for 16,000, in which he had zero reason not to win. I'll use him as a B just in case I'm wrong, but man, I feel like the three and the four have this horse over a barrel. He's going to have to deal with so much more than he did last time. I don't need him in here.
I think he's loose again, so I like him for that reason. It is a big step up in class. I mean, Time Form had that restricted claimer as a 96 race rating. This is a 110. But the fact is he's loose, and I could see this being everybody's a wise guy, and the horse is 7-2. And I think for a horse that could be loose, that's too big. So, I know he had everything his own way the last time, but I just wanted him in the mix. I had the four as the top pick. Really should appreciate this turn back in distance. That's the other thing I like about this one, going from 9 to 8. If you look at pace figures, should be better, and also should be in a great spot. I do think the 7 is loose, but I don't think this horse is going to give him, the 4 is not going to give the 7 too much rope, and I think he'll come attacking on the turn. And you know, if it's a speedy track or the 7, you know, improves for this shrewd barn somehow, maybe he goes on with it. But if the 7 gets tired, the 4 is going to be in a beautiful spot. Who's the king I definitely want on tickets? And then you mentioned the other very logical one that I had just listed as a backup, because I had no special reason to like Yo Daddy, but just a horse that fit like a glove on figures and form, barely beaten at the same level. Another one who might be suited by the turn back in distance too. So 4, 7, and 3, we have the same three numbers, but you're skeptical. If you hate Unlimited Potential, I'd say you should probably get Brave and just leave off completely. But I respect the idea that if you can make some smart ticket construction and have that one on there, you know, as a loose horse on the dirt at Saratoga, probably not a terrible idea to cover. Is that sort of where you were going with that?
Well, I have some other ideas. You know what I mean?
Too cute.
And look, if it's a situation in which you have you have two A's and you're adding in one B, the cost is insignificant. Now, it's one of those situations where if you have, you've got three A's, three B's, and then you add to a fourth B. Now that's actually financially a problem.
Yes.
But in a situation like this, it doesn't make a difference.
No, I think that's right. I think it's a wise horse to protect with, especially if you think you can find some prices in those spreadier legs. We close things out with race number 12, 3 and up New York bred fillies and mares, maidens going 5.5. Wish this race wasn't the last one in the sequence with a little bit of an unexposed form here. But hey, it is what it is. In terms of this pick six on Saturday, JK, how are we going to get paid?
Yeah, I only need the 3 and the 5. Nice and easy. The first time starters don't seem to cause any issues. George Weaver in a turf sprint, he's really kind of found his groove in there. And then Heart of the Night for Horatio DePass, another one who's just been right there knocking on the door with two fast times at Saratoga, going the 5.5. You know the horse is going to handle it. I don't need anybody else. The two first time starters. Are trained by a 7% first time starter trainer and an 0-for-13 first time starter trainer. So I'm good with just the 3 and the 5.
I hear you. I wanted to see if there was any betting on the Lucy Playa horse, because I think that horse on pedigree is just a little bit interesting. I wouldn't hate having a little bit of something there.
The horse was entered August 1st in a maiden special weight. At Finger Lakes on the dirt and scratched.
Okay.
So and it's a looking at Lucky turf sprinting. Marshall would block you if you told him you were going to take a looking at Lucky first out turf sprinting from the rail. He would block you.
Marshall, and we'll talk about this extensively on Horse Players Happy Hour, if folks have a chance to see that. The ways that he has found in our house games on Contest Jockey to continue to get beat, it is becoming truly amazing. He's now about 0 for 50 in that contest, being in a position to win in the last race the last two times, and just I don't want to say snatching defeat from the jaws of victory, because he's really just been unlucky, but it's been pretty damn hilarious. That first draw I was just a little interested in, just because, you know, when you talk about looking at lucky, you're also talking about smart strike, which means Danzig line. It's a weird little cross, right? Pedigree wise, but I'm interested in the horse a little bit. But I mean, it's not like I'm going to be keying the horse. I probably won't even use in the picks, but it's a horse I'm just curious to see if is any live in the double. I just think that, you know, everybody's going to use the 3 and the 5, and with good reason. They're the most logical horses. I'm desperate to try to find something a little bit interesting to throw in there beyond, you know, a horse like the 8 Barefoot Disco certainly makes sense, but I mean, that's going to be then everybody's third choice. It just strikes me as a very tricky race to pick up any kind of equity in. I will say this, and I told you I was going to do this, so I'll do it. I'm just saying this out loud so it doesn't happen. Off the turf, the 12 would look pretty interesting to me for the Erad and Rudy combo, adding blinkers with a decent dirt race. But I don't think it'll come to that. It should probably be one of these logical horses to close things out in the nightcap. Any closing thoughts from you, JK? What are you? When are you on this weekend? When can people expect to see you?
Yeah, I'm early the rest of the week, which is nice. So Saturday they're doing a little switch up. Lafitte and I will be early. So Greg Wolf will host the Fox Show, and Richie will be on the desk. So Richie's been, you know, kind of out in the field a little bit more. So I think for the show, he'll be on the desk, and then, so early all week, it'll be fun.
Love it. All right. Well, we'll look for you on TV, and we'll be talking soon. Also want to put in a quick plug for a new Contest Jockey event just announced. We are going to be doing one for the BCCA dinner and auction in Saratoga Springs. One of the events of the season for Travers Week, the annual Racing for the Children dinner and auction, Thursday, August 22nd, recognizing Gretchen and Roy Jackson as the 2024 honorees, and Stuart and Suzanne Grant as the 2024 Humanitarian Award recipients. If you win this contest, you'll get a seat, $300 value. And if you donate to the BCCA, you can also get a free month of In the Money Plus. For all the details on this cool opportunity, go to contestjockey.com. Look for this free contest on Saturday. Win a seat to the BCCA auction, and you'll probably be sitting at our table with me and Marshall Graham and Corey Molis and Mike Novak from Contest Jockey. It's going to be a great night. Join us, and you can buy your ticket also if you just go to the BCCA website. That's also not a bad idea. But if you want to win your way in, go to Contest Jockey and sign up today for free. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I want to thank all of today's guests, especially Jackson Muniz, getting called in off the bench and doing such a fantastic job for us. I know he loves him some Woodbine and has been working very hard to get that BCBC seat. Let's also thank our charity partners, Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. Been great to get some time with Kim Weir this summer, learning more about how she is helping humans and helping horses over there, to learn more about what they've got going on and to donate generously to their cause, inthemoneypodcast.com/horses. Also, our friends and founding partners over at 10 Strike Racing, those who campaign looms boldly, named them after me, Clay and Marshall, and the rest of the team. Been great to see them up here in Saratoga. Great that Marshall is coming back for Travers Week. Looking forward to getting to hang out with him and hopefully continue to taunt him as he brings his record in Contest Jockey events at something close to 0 for 50. And this isn't an exaggeration, like when I used to say my record in head-to-heads with JK was like 2 and 50 or whatever, when it was always closer to 50-50. Marshall actually has never won one of these things, and he's been playing since March. Anyway, a funny story will continue to follow. Most of all, though, I want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornatale. May you win all your photos.